ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Lord Rishabhdev's Teachings, Text 9. Yada manaha hridaya granthihi asya कर्म अनुबद्धः दृढः आश्लथेत तदा जनः संपरिवर्तते अस्मात् मुक्तः परं याति अतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा मनो हृदय ग्रंथिरस्य कर्मानुबद्धो दृढ आश्लथेत तदा जनः संपरिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्तः परं यात्यतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा मनो हृदय ग्रंथिरस्य कर्मानुबद्धो दृढ आश्लथेत तदा जनः संपरिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्तः परं यात्यतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा मनो हृदय ग्रंथिरस्य कर्मानुबद्धो दृढ आश्लथेत तदा जनः संपरिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्तः परं यात्यतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा मनो हृदय ग्रंथिरस्य कर्मानुबद्धो दृढ आश्लथेत तदा जनः संपरिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्तः परं यात्यतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा मनो हृदय ग्रंथिरस्य कर्मानुबद्धो दृढ आश्लथेत तदा जनः संपरिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्तः परं यात्यतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा मनो हृदय ग्रंथिरस्य कर्मानुबद्धो दृढ़ आश्लथेत तदा जनः संपरिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्तः परं यात्यतिहाय हेतुम्। माताजी प्लीज। मनोहृदय ग्रंथिरस्य बद्धो दृढ़ आश्लथेत तदा जनः संपरिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्तः परं यात्यतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा मनो हृदय ग्रंथिरस्य कर्मानुबद्धो दृढ़ आश्लथेत जनः संपरिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्तः परं यात्यतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा मनो हृदय ग्रंथिरस्य कर्मानुबद्धो दृढ़ आश्लथेत तदा जनः संपरिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्तः परं यात्यतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा When manaha, the mind, hridaya granthihi, the knot in the heart, asya, of this person, karma anubaddhaha, bound by the results of his past deeds, dridhaha, very strong, Ashlatheta becomes slackened. Tada, at that time, Janaha, the conditioned soul, Samparivartate, turns away, Asmat, from this attachment for sex life, Muktaha, liberated, Param, to the transcendental world, Yati, goes, Atihaya, giving up, Hetum, the original cause. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of his past action is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife, and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine, and becomes liberated. Thus one goes to the transcendental world. Purport. When by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception due to knowledge, practice, and detachment, the knot of attachment in the heart is slackened. Thus, one can get freed from conditional life and become eligible to return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। These are the celebrated teachings of Lord Rishabhdev to his 100 sons, and through his 100 sons to all of us. Very, very important teachings, very often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. There are many, many important verses in these teachings, and the theme is more or less that the goal of human life is not sense gratification, but rather self-realization. And for that purpose, one needs the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord. So Krishna consciousness versus sense gratification as the goal of life and the manner of obtaining it is basically the theme of Lord Rishabhdev's teachings. In the previous verse, we have seen again a very famous verse where Rishabhdev asserts that the highest or the greatest bondage in this world for the conditioned living entity is the attraction between the male and the female, which binds one to all sorts of illusion, beginning with I and mine. In continuation of this theme, in text 9 that we are discussing today, the concept of the Hridaya Granthi, the knot in the heart, is being further discussed by Rishabhdev. He says, Yada mano Hridaya Granthi rasya Karmanubaddho Dridha Ashlatheta. So when this Hridaya Granthi, the knot in the heart, that has come about because of millions of lifetimes of karmic activity, and which is very, very strong and tightly tied, it's very difficult to undo the knot. But when that begins to slacken, ashlatheta, tada, at that time, one gets the association of devotees, or one rather turns away from, one develops a sense of detachment from materialistic affairs in this world. And then automatically one moves towards the path of liberation. When one comes to the path of detachment, then one becomes liberated, muktaha, and then param yati, one goes to the spiritual world. So the sequence that Rishabhdev Maharaj outlines in this verse is that the tight knot in the heart the Hridaya Granthi is slackened. Because of the slackening of this knot, one becomes detached from materialistic affairs. Because of such detachment, one becomes liberated. And because one becomes liberated, one becomes eligible now to go back to the spiritual world. That's the sequence that he has said here. However, it begs the fundamental question that what is it that causes the knot in the heart to get slackened? Because everything begins there. This knot in the heart is so hard and so tight. So, what is the cause of this slackening? And that is immediately answered by Srila Prabhupada in the very first line of his purport. He says, when by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception due to knowledge, practice and detachment, the knot of attachment in the heart is slackened. In other words, Srila Prabhupada has added one more factor to this verse, which is the cause of the slackening of the knot, and that is sadhu sangha, the association of devotees. A very, very precious thing, very rare to obtain, the cause of all success and auspiciousness in life. In fact, the most valuable thing we can ever have in our life, and that is sadhu sangha. Association of devotees has been glorified by the different scriptures. Srila Prabhupada has also spoken extensively about this. And in one place, in one purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he mentions that the very purpose of his creating this International Society for Krishna Consciousness was to provide association of devotees to the people of this world. In other words, sadhu sangha is so important that that is the express and only purpose primarily for which Srila Prabhupada founded ISKCON. The purpose for which he went to America and began preaching. He gave his sangha, his association to people, and look what a miracle happened. Because pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada are like touchstones. Whoever they touch, they inspire them, they transform their hearts. And because of this miraculous alchemy or process that goes on within the heart, which cannot be analyzed and understood by so-called empirical rational thinkers, something magical happens there by the touch of the sadhus. There is a churning that takes place in the heart, and then gradually one becomes detached from material life. In some cases it may be immediate, and then one takes to devotional service, which then is the cause of all perfection in life and which is the means and the end. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings to Sanatana Goswami by Mahaprabhu, he speaks about this theme of how a conditioned soul in this world is delivered from material existence. And he says, Sansara Pramite Kona Bhagya Keho Tore Nadira Pravahe Jano Kashta Lage Tire. He says, Sansara Bhramite, after wandering through the universe, Kono Bhagye, by some stroke of good fortune, Keho, someone, Tore, he manages to cross over this otherwise uncrossable or unsurpassable material ocean of material of existence. And how is he delivered? Nadira Pravahe, in the flow of a river, Jano, like kashta lage tire. Kashta is a little piece of wood or maybe a twig. This happens very often. Many forms of twigs and other things fall into the river, and the waves of the river carry this pieces of wood or twigs, and some of these twigs may perchance happen to wash ashore on the banks of the river. So in the same way, this current of material existence is flowing very fast, very rapidly, and it just sweeps away everybody. It is very difficult to proceed against the current of this world. Maya is extremely strong. Those of you who may have been to Rishikesh or Haridwar and you have seen the flow of the Ganga there, of course, the higher you go up, the faster is the flow of the river. But even in Rishikesh, for example, the flow is quite rapid and it is deceptive. Because it is so wide, we don't immediately grasp the velocity of the river. And we think it's not so fast actually. And we step in and then we find that we just flow down. So what the administration there has done is they've put all these iron chains on the banks, on the ghats. So those who wish to take bath, they step into the water and hold on to the iron chains and then take their dip and then come out. Because if you don't hold on to the iron chains, there is every possibility that we may get a free ticket to Calcutta. Because we will just flow down the river and end up in Mayapur. But we may not be in a healthy condition when we reach there. So this is how the current of this material world is. Unless we hold on to something very, very, very strong which can protect us, we will be swept away by the tide. So what that is, we'll come to in a moment. But just as these twigs and so on are washed ashore, not all the twigs, a few of them may be washed ashore, in the same way, some fortunate jivas, conditioned souls, will be able to cross over this ocean of material existence. So, this example is given here of the little twigs, and they are compared to the conditioned souls here. So, Mahaprabhu mentions here, kono bhagye, by some good fortune. So, it's not everybody who has that good fortune. Some people, some rare conditioned souls have that good fortune. And then Mahaprabhu goes on to say, kono bhagye karo sansara kshayan mukha hai, sadhu sange tobe krishna rati upajai. He says, kono bhagye, again he repeats that by saying, by some good fortune, karo, some person, somebody, sansara kshayon mukho hoy. Sansar means the material existence. Kshaya means destroyed. So for some fortunate soul, somehow or other, his term of material existence will be finished, is finished. And when that happens, tobe, sadhu sanga tobe, krishne rati upajaye, then he gets sadhu sanga. And then because of getting sadhu sangha, he develops Krishna rati. Rati means intense attachment to the Lord or attraction to the Lord. And then Mahaprabhu quotes this famous verse from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is spoken actually by Muchukunda, the great king, when Krishna appears before him in the cave. As Krishna is, he wishes to deliver Muchukunda. And Muchukunda prays, Bhavapavargo Brahmato Yada Bhavej, Janasyatar Yachyuta Satsamagamaha, Satsangamo Yarhita Dhaiva Sadgatau, Paravareshe Tvijayate Matihi. So King Muchukunda prays, bhava apavargaha bhramataha. He says, for those people who are wandering here, bhramataha, in this material existence, body to body, planet to planet, species to species, when yada their material existence is finished, bhava apavargaha. Bhava means this material world, where we constantly take birth, we constantly die, we constantly grow old, constantly get diseased. So this is called bhava, which literally means to become dead, to become old, to become diseased, to become born again. Apavarga means the exact opposite of that, cessation of that bhava. So King Muchukunda says that when one's material existence ceases, at that time, janasya tarhi, tarhi means at that time, achyuta sat samagamaha. O Achyuta, O Krishna, one gets the association of your devotees. And when one gets the association of your devotees, tvai jayate matihi, one becomes Krishna conscious. One becomes your pure devotee. So what is the sequence that has been mentioned here by King Muchukunda? First, material existence ceases. Two, because of that, one gets the association of devotees. And number three, because of the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness. So now, here is something very interesting. Does it look a little odd or different? The sequence? Please note the sequence. The sequence is, number one, material existence ceases. Number two, because of that, one gets the association of devotees. And number three, because of the association of devotees, one becomes Krishna conscious. Do you see anything wrong here? What's wrong? Yes? The effect is before the cause. What is it? What do you mean by that? Which effect? Correct. When we get the association of devotees, it is then that our material existence ceases. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also verifying it. He is validating Muchukunda's statement. The Srimad Bhagavatam can't be wrong. That's perfect. And what's more, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has validated it by speaking a Bengali verse and then repeating this Sanskrit verse. So he's definitely saying that what Muchukunda is saying is right. So then why do we see this reversal of sequence? So Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very interesting purport to this. He says that there is something in literature, Sanskrit literature, that is called Atishayokti, where you emphasize something by extreme assertion. When you want to prove something and make a very strong statement, you may assert something in a very strong way. And how would you do that? You could do it in various ways. And in this context, it has been done by reversing the cause and the effect. So this inversion of sequence, that means placing the effect before the cause, making it appear that the effect is actually the cause, is meant for a purpose. What is that purpose? The purpose is to emphasize with great, force, that the cause is actually so effective, so powerful, that the effect of that cause happens very swiftly, very immediately. So the cause is the association of devotees, and the effect is a cessation of material existence. But King Muchukunda states that the existence or the cessation of material existence first, and then the association of devotees. So Jiva Goswami says that this is done to actually highlight the fact that the association of devotees is so extremely powerful that it acts very swiftly, very effectively. As soon as one gets the association of devotees, one's material existence is destroyed. That's the point being made. So to highlight how powerful the association of devotees is, such literary ornaments sometimes are used in the literature. It's called an atishayokti. An atishayokti literally means an overestimation or an exaggeration. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada mentions in a certain place that sometimes when we hear descriptions of the power of devotional service or of the power of the association of devotees, we may think that they are exaggerations. Oh, how can it be? It's just too much. It cannot happen just like that. He gives the examples of the Kumaras. The Kumaras one time smelled the fragrance of the lotus, of the tulasi leaves and manjaris offered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And immediately they experienced a transformation and became pure devotees. Now we may think, we've been doing that for years. And it doesn't look like the ecstatic symptoms are about to happen. We must smell away and hold it there for hours. Nothing's happening. I don't see the hair standing on end, and I don't see my throat getting choked with transcendental emotion and tears flowing like torrents from my eyes. And doesn't seem to happen. So how come for the four Kumaras, they just smelled it once and then they became pure devotees? Prabhupada gives the example also, Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Just once he heard about Krishna from a lady who he used to visit regularly, not for Krishna conscious purposes. But she was a devotee. And then she told him, if you had the attachment for Krishna that you had for me, then you would have made your life successful immediately. That one statement from her was enough to turn his life around. Immediately he left her, left his village, and came to Vrindavan and became a very fixed up pure devotee of the Lord, Prabhupada says. So now we hear of so many times about Krishna, so many people tell us about Krishna, we read, and we also others tell others about Krishna, but doesn't look like we're getting so fixed up. It's always the mind that troubles us with so many desires and so many ups and downs and struggles that go on within us, dealing with the senses and so on. So is it really an exaggeration? How did it happen to Bilwa Mangal Thakur? So Srila Prabhupada, after giving these two examples, then mentions that these are not exaggerations. These are not simply stories that are being told. They are actual facts. But he clarifies by saying that they are true in the case of the devotees who have been mentioned. They may not be true for all cases. For the four Kumaras, they smelt it once. We may smell many times and not achieve the same destination immediately. So it happened for the Kumaras that they immediately got transformed. For us, it may or may not happen for various reasons. But Srila Prabhupada says we should not think that these statements given in the scriptures are exaggerations or untruths. So even if we consider these exaggerations, Prabhupada says, one should understand the purpose behind them, that they have been given to take our mind away from the fleeting attractions of this world, to make our mind fixed on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Of course, even if the transformations do not happen immediately, but they happen gradually, depending on how sincere and strong we are in our Krishna conscious activities. It is for sure that we will one day become pure devotees. All we have to do is to continue following the process sincerely and correctly under the proper guidance. If that is done, success is only a matter of time. Whether it happens now, or whether it happens after a few months or a few years, or a few lifetimes, is something that is not really important. It's going to happen for sure. Many times, the word immediately is used in the scriptures, that when we associate with devotees, we immediately finish our material existence, and we think, well, I've been associating and it's not finishing. So why is the word immediately mentioned there in the scripture? So at another place, Srila Jiva Goswami, in his commentary to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, gives an interesting analogy. He says, imagine that there is a stack of leaves from a tree, and there is a very sharp needle, and you want to insert this needle through the stack of leaves. Now, you take the needle on the stack and immediately push it through. It's practically effortless. You don't have to exert yourself too much. And the first to strike is the first leaf, then the second, the third, fourth, and so on. And very quickly you go through the end. So we may think that it's happening the first and then the second, but it's practically very, very soon. The transformation happens very quickly in comparison to the millions of lifetimes that we have spent in this material world. What's a few months or a few years or even a few lifetimes? It's as good as immediate. Therefore, sometimes we hear Srila Prabhupada saying, well, recently when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, or recently when Krishna appeared, well, that recently means 500 years or 5,000 years. It really depends on the context, what is recently. In certain contexts, 500 years will be ancient. But in the context of many, many millions of births and millions of years, 5,000 years is a very, very short span of time. It's recent. So when we say that by associating with devotees, our material lifespan, our materialistic existence is finished, immediately has to be understood in this context. Another understanding can be given like this. Take the example of the Jagannath Rath Yatra. The scriptures say that anyone who pulls the cart of Lord Jagannath, holds the rope and pulls, immediately he gets liberated. So now we think, well, I've been pulling for so many Rath Yatras, but I don't think I'm liberated yet. So what is the meaning? So one time somebody asked Srila Prabhupada this question. And Srila Prabhupada answered and said, what this means is that the doorways of liberation are opened up for you. In other words, even if a non-devotee somehow, by some stroke of good fortune, happens to come near the site of the Rath Yatra, and he's faithful enough to come and pull the cart, then for him, the doorways of liberation are opened up. But he still has to walk the path. It's not that the doorways are opened and you're just there. So you still have to put in your effort. You still have to practice devotional service. In other words, Krishna has given us a golden opportunity to make our life successful. Now it's up to us to make use of it. And the beauty of it is, even if you don't make use of it, because you have done that one little service, you will be given an opportunity to do another service. And that may be also one act like this. And this will go on for millions of lives, or maybe thousands, or maybe hundreds, or maybe a few, depending on how many such activities we have accumulated in our life, in this life and the previous lives. So this is called Sukriti or piety. Now in the verse that I quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatana Goswami, Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his purport to explain this word bhagya or fortune. When Mahaprabhu says, Kono bhagye karo sansara kshayan mukha hoye, that by some stroke of good fortune, some rare soul's material existence comes to an end. What is the meaning of this fortune? So Prabhupada says, fortune means piety, pious activities. And there are three types of pious activities. So one kind of pious activity which gives rise to material opulence and enjoyment is called bhogonmukhi sukriti. These are material activities, material piety, like planting trees, digging wells, feeding the poor, healing the sick, you know, so on and so forth. So by doing variety of such pious activities, one may in the future get a lot of material opulence and enjoyment and so on, even perhaps the heavenly planets. So such pious activities are called bhogonmukhi sukriti, because they lead to bhoga, or sense enjoyment, or facilities for sense enjoyment. The second type of pious activity is called jnanonmukhi sukriti. Those pious activities that lead us to eventually develop a tendency to want to merge into the impersonal absolute truth. And the third type of piety is bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. Those pious activities which lead us to become attracted to Krishna and eventually to become pure devotees of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada clarifies that the first two kinds of piety are not really good fortune at all. It is only the third that is actually good fortune. And that is called bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. And this bhaktyonmukhi sukriti can sometimes, for a long period, be performed even unknowingly. Then it's called ajnata sukriti, unknowingly performed devotional piety, like somebody receiving some prasadam and not knowing the value of the prasadam, but he just accepts it happily. Someone hearing the sounds of the holy name being chanted by the devotees, not realizing the importance of the holy names, and so on. So by a sufficient accumulation of such unknowingly performed piety, devotional piety, one will come to the point of cessation of one's material existence by the association of devotees. One now becomes eligible and faithful to acquire the association of sadhus, sadhu sangha. Now, willingly, voluntarily, one wants to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So the moment one comes to the association of devotees, then one's fortune blossoms like a lotus at sunrise. And then one progresses on the path of pure devotional service. So fundamental, therefore, is this association of devotees. And now that we have received this priceless gift of the association of devotees, we have to take it very carefully so that we can live together very nicely and make individual and collective advancement in Krishna consciousness. So then this Hridaya Granthi, the knot in the heart, will automatically be slackened.